There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Welcome back, everybody. It's so wonderful to be with you again. Big shout out to my regular listeners and those who have been emailing in and giving me fantastic feedback around the articles and the activities that I share each week on BBS Radio. It's just wonderful to hear from you, and it just warms my heart to know that there are people out there doing amazing things for our beautiful children. It really is. We live in incredible times right now. and I did want to share with you some wonderful news. I have created a new podcast series. It'll be 9 shows, and it's about embodied intelligence. It's really got me making, made me think. The last series that I did, I wanted to have a natural continuation of those shows, but I wanted to go deeper into different sections. And this, I have to give a shout out to an amazing woman who inspired me, because this series was inspired by the work of Catherine Mussel. I've been following Catherine on YouTube for quite a while now, and every time I hear her speak, she is so grounded and inspiring, and I have paradigm shifts, and it really makes me stop and wonder what's going on. And so her explorations into fascia capacity, identity, embodiment, have really encouraged me personally to look deeper between the relationship between the body and learning and human potential. And what I've been sitting with is, how can I take what I'm learning and what is making such a profound impact on my personal life, and how can I translate this into a learning environment so that other adults, mentors, are self-aware, and how can we thread this through what we're doing? And so that's what sparked this series, and I'm so excited about it. It's a game changer as far as I'm concerned. It's a really different way of thinking and feeling it energetically, rather than just focusing on living life through default. This is truly living learning when you know yourself, because everything around you is created by you. We are world creators. We have our own little universes, and our thoughts and our energy and our actions really do have massive ripple effect in our lives. So it's very important that we come back to, who are we? What are we? Because we are the central point of everything that happens within our lives. So episode 1, the topic is, we are more than a physical body. I wanted to just start at the basics, and we're going to explore this. There's so many fantastic micro practices that I can share with you, reflection questions, and then, of course, as you know, weekly integrations and activities that I will share on BBS Radio when I publish my article each week. So for those new listeners, if you go to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined, you will be able to find all of my archive shows and access to all of my articles and activities for free. Take it. And you know, use it, spread the word, share it. This is my passion. This is my hobby. Okay, so let me get straight into this. I wanted to start with a very small story, totally true story. It happened a couple of years ago, and there's many instances when things like this have probably happened before, but this one has really stuck with me, and it actually shifted the way that I teach and mentor today. And coach, for that instance, when I'm doing coaching with clients, you know, and I'm public speaking, and that is making sure that I am aware of the energy of what's moving around me. I mean, I'm sure that you have walked into a room at some stage in your life and you've immediately felt something. You know, it might have been that there was an argument or a intense discussion in that room just before you walked in, and you can feel it. No one has to say anything. You just know, you can sense it, you can pick it up. Animals sense this, children sense this. Or it might have been, the butterflies that you have in your stomach before you're doing a public talk. So I've done many, many public talks. I love public speaking, it's one of my passions. And there have been many conferences that I've spoken at before, and my hands are shaking because of the energy and the electricity coursing through my body. And I'm not nervous, not at all. I'm excited. And so it makes you wonder how this sort of fits in. So coming back to my story, there was one day when I had planned a really exciting lesson. It was engaging. We were doing science experiments. It was outside. The class were extremely engaged. It was fantastic. And I was really happy. But I had one student, one young little girl, who was normally highly involved and really involved in her learning, very self-directed. And she just couldn't focus. She just could not focus at all. So, I was very kind to her. I was trying to draw her in and engage her, and it just didn't work at this stage. And it wasn't until later on when I was able to catch her, because obviously I was busy with a whole class of children, but I was able to catch her by herself and have a conversation with her, that I came to the realization that she'd had a massive argument with someone in her family at breakfast time, and she was reeling from this. She didn't feel safe, even though the environment she was in the classroom was safe. It was a different environment. Her body was still carrying the energy. The nervous system was still carrying that argument hours later, and it compromised her learning. It compromised her ability to focus, because we are not our minds. Our body is very central to learning. And it wasn't until that day that it actually even made me stop and think about, are children ready to learn? And this was decades ago, of course, that I'm sharing, but it did actually, that was a nodal point for me to start exploring, well, what can I do to set children up for learning, and what can we do to help them have the strategies to be able to ground themselves and bring their own nervous systems back? There's no point in me doing it for them. I don't want to step on their sovereignty. I would really want to teach them the strategies so they can do it for themselves. And so that's sort of where this comes from. And it made me also, it inspired me to stop and think that, our thoughts, if our thoughts only existed in the brain, why does the body respond so strongly? And so here I am decades later, and I start listening to Catherine Musselle, this amazing woman who talks about fascia, and all of the jigsaw pieces just clicked together. The pieces just clicked together, bang, 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 bang. And she's really cementing things, because our body is not a machine. It communicates with us. It's constantly communicating with us. And we know we're not just this physical body. We're not just this physical meat suit. We have a soul, we have a spirit. But how does that work? And the fascia, when you hear of fascia and someone says, what's fascia? Well, it's the continuous web of connective tissue which surrounds muscles, organs, and nerves. It's more than that. It's more than the scientific explanation that we've been given. And what Catherine has inspired me to consider, because she's not telling me what's true, she's giving me questions and making me curious, is that the light that we carry inside ourselves, our spirit, our light, is embedded into the fascia. And when you have trauma, or when you experience something with wonderful joy in a moment of play, or something that's happened in your life, it's actually also stored within the fascia of our body. We hold it within us. Now, for some people, that can eventually send us down the path of illness. And for others, it can be something completely different. But if we don't move our body and help release what is stored, the energy and the emotions that's stored in our fascia, then it really shapes. It shapes our posture. It shapes how we show up. It actually shapes our energy. I wouldn't say block our energy, but it does interpret the flow of where it actually goes. And science and medicine today, I'm so excited to say, are really revisiting old assumptions about thoughts and emotions and our experiences and how they influence us beyond the brain because it's stored in our bodies. So I don't want to overuse the word fascia, so I'm going to also use the word bodies, but what if we are more than just our physical body? And this is what gives us the big question. For generations, we've been taught that to see ourselves through like a mechanical lens, your body is a machine and your brain is a computer. We have all of these metaphors and analogies that are thrown at us. We've been told, and I believed this for the longest time, that the learning all happened in my head. That emotions were secondary. But science is beginning to reveal that it's not, it's interconnected. Our living body is not just flesh and bone and blood and muscles and organs. It's electrical, it's chemical, biological, of course, and emotional, and it's relational. And this is what we're going to be exploring over the next 9 weeks. And I have lots of fantastic micro practices and integrations and activities that you can explore as an adult and with children so that we can feel very present in our body. And I, from lived experience, can tell you this can shift things in an amazing, profound way in your lives. And it's definitely worth exploring. It's just so much more than what I believe we currently understand because we are a living electrical network. We really are. The brain does not control everything. Learning does not primarily happen in our lives, and in our mind, I should say. Excuse me. And emotions, can get in the way of our thinking. The emotions and the electrical and the charges, the body actually follows the instructions of the brain, is what we were led to believe, or what some currently believe. But I'm starting to question all of this. I'm questioning everything. Is it true? Is it not true? What do I observe? Am I going to take the time to stop and experiment for myself? What is true for me? Rather than the perspective that I have been led to believe, because I just don't know. So this is the exploration, and I would invite you to come and explore it with me. I don't have all of the answers, but I do have some big questions and curiosities, and I'm happy to share what it is that I'm observing. Here's a question for you. So what if emotions and experiences and memories are not only stored in the brain? I always thought the memories were stored in the brain, but what I have come to the realization is they're actually stored throughout the body, not just the brain. There are other places that they are stored as well, and that was is within our fascia. So that then led me to the question of, well, what happens when we see ourselves as energetic and electrical and biological beings simultaneously? Doesn't that shift the way that we see things and how we're presenting information and how we're learning? Because sitting in a room with four walls, sitting still, is not conducive to learning. We need that movement, but we also need to consider ourselves as a whole, and what our whole body actually needs. So every cell has electrical activity. Our body is electric, and this is something that we're beginning to explore a little bit further. Every thought that we have involves electrical activity. The neuroscience is telling us, and that's becoming quite popular in the education field. Every heartbeat relies on electrical impulses. There are actually people out there now talking about the fact that the heart is not just a pump, it's almost like a portal. And it has a lot more uses. Really would like to explore that. That's a whole nother show, though, exploring that possibility. But the heart generates measurable Electromagnetic fields up to 5,000 times stronger than the brain. The Heart Math Institute has got incredible research in this space, and I urge you to check them out if you are curious and you'd like to know more. It's mind-blowing and heartwarming stuff when you have a look at it. And it really does shift the way, particularly if you're a science teacher out there, the way that you are teaching and considering everything that we are teaching and presenting. Every movement in our muscles depends upon an electrical communication. Every nerve in our body transmits electrical signals. We are not merely biochemical. We are bioelectrical. Now, logically, I already knew this, on a logical space. I was like, oh yeah, I've heard this before, that's fine. But when, as an educator and as a mother, have I sat back and actually thought about us being electrical, the amount of voltage that I'm carrying, life force that I'm carrying, and when that is running low, what am I doing? Am I having enough salt because the water in my body needs that for the electrical currents? So that translates to the diet and how I am actually feeding my body. Because the life depends, my life, your life, our lives depend on these electrical exchanges. Because without them, the body literally ceases to function. The bioelectricity is essential for life. And this alone is worth considering and pondering. Do we have these conversations with children, even young children? Because we often think of ourselves as solid. And yet, beneath the surface of what we feel is solid in our bodies is movement, communication, energy. And it's occurring every moment of the day. We need to get out and have a look. Well, I'm going to delete the word need. We're in the process of getting out of our way and considering what's there beyond the brain when it comes to learning environments. We're all over the brain, we're all over neuroscience, we can consider this, but it's coming back to the gut and the heart and the coherence between the gut, the heart, and the brain, the mind. This is where the magic happens. And personally, I experience this coherence when I'm in play, when I'm in a playful mood, when I'm resting and relaxing, and certainly when I am in nature. If you are in a beautiful place, natural environment, and you're feeling that energy and that peace, that is where my coherence all seems to meld together. So it's very interesting. I would ask, are you aware of coherence between these spaces with you? The gut ha is starting to, in the medical industry, being talked about around having it containing millions of neurons, and how often it's called the second brain. Well, there's many people out there that think that neurons are only in the brain. No, the gut has neurons as well. Check it out. It produces our serotonin. It's a very important part of our body, which means it's also a very important part of our learning experience. If you have a child guzzling Coca-Cola and eating junk food on their way to school, how can you expect that what's going on in their gut region is going to affect their learning? A lot of children today who have ADHD and they can't concentrate, and all of these labels that they have been given, when you really stop and have a look at what's going on in the body, I'm quite sure that there would be some sort of way of pointing towards solutions for them to be able to consider what these supposed labels actually mean. And what you can do. I've seen people reverse these things purely through the way that they are actually treating their body, not just with food, but also on an energetic space and in an emotional space. So, do you trust your gut? Do you listen to your gut feelings? Have you ever felt heartache? Have you ever known something that's deep within your heart? Your logical brain can't understand it, but your heart knows. This is, the heart brain. The heart also contains its own intricate neural network. That's a bit of a tongue twister, I know. So between the three, it's almost like we have three brains in our body, or operating systems in our body, if you like to have the analogy of computers. And perhaps these expressions really emerged from observation long before science was investigating them, because the body appears to be communicating with us constantly, not just the brain, it's the whole system. And when there's internal chaos, and I've experienced this as well, it leads to burnout. For some people, it leads to chronic fatigue, and it's because when you are in coherence, this regulates stress, it enhances emotional resilience, it improves our health, and of course puts us in that field of gratitude, that frequency. And breath work certainly helps, stillness certainly helps, but it's noticing what is our body communicating and what is it telling us. And ancient wisdom really knew about this. When you look at all the ancient wisdom around chi and prana and life force energy and breath and spirit, I know the Aboriginal peoples, First Nations of Australia, they've long understood the deeply interconnected relationships between the land and the body and community and spirit. This is nothing new. Many Indigenous cultures understood the knowledge is not just acquired through the brain, it's experienced, it's felt, it's lived. That's what this podcast is all about: living, learning, not having something inputted into your brain and you're consuming information. No, we're living, learning. That's meant to be the whole point, embodying it. And that's why this series, Embodied Intelligence, is being birthed right now. And I'm creating it because this feels so important. Today, science is starting to ask questions that are really, in my opinion, echoing what the ancients already knew. It's like we're remembering, we're going back. Oh, and it's wonderful to see the rise and resurgence of things like, Qigong. And movement to release that trapped life force that's in your fascia. And if you're really interested in checking out more on what you can do for this, I would check out a Human Garage, a fantastic YouTube channel that gives you very simple exercises and movements to release trapped and stored energy and emotions that are in your fascia. It's well worth exploring, and children love it. It's really fun. I get the giggles sometimes because I'm not the most coordinated woman. But it can be really fun, and it does bring us back to, cellular sound therapy, vibration, frequency. All of this is really wonderful to explore. Don't get me started on water and what these things do for that as well. So you could possibly create an inquiry project with children, students, adults, yourself, and really explore and investigate and notice and observe. What is this like for you? It really opens the door to explore and inquire, and I highly invite you to consider this because this really does matter when it comes to learning. If learning only happens in the brain, then the information should be enough. But we know that this is not the truth. So why are we still teaching the way that we're teaching just through the brain? Why are we not considering the body? How many times have we known something and failed to live it? How many times over the decades have I seen children and done this myself, memorized information and forgotten it weeks later because you're memorizing it for an exam? Or adults would attend a workshop and you get inspired by this workshop, but weeks later, days later, possibly hours later, you return straight back to your old habits because the learning becomes lasting when the whole being is involved, not just the mind. It's the body, it's the emotions, the relationships, the experience, and the environment, which is the learning environment. This is what embodied learning invites us to consider. When you think about things like the double slit experiment, if you haven't heard of the double slit experiment, research it. Just search for it on any search engine. I don't like to say Google. I don't like to pr promote just one way of searching, but research it because it's really like an observer effect, and it's talking about consciousness and the observer and how it changes what is in the unified field around us and how it changes based on who the observer is. The quantum entanglement. There's so many experiments which I will come back to at another time to talk about this, but the observation of matter really does lend to us the consideration that we are more than just our minds when it comes to learning. And so, quick micro practice of the day. And I invite you to consider this. And that's just to spend a couple of minutes exploring something together. And so, if you are driving right now or doing something where it's not safe for you to sit and settle, then I invite you to come back and listen to this later or consider just sort of remember, make sure you've got your eyes open if you're on the road. But if you're in a place where you have the opportunity to place both feet on the floor and just take a deep breath in. And then slowly a breath out. It's a great practice. And what you do is you notice your feet, notice your breathing. Can you feel your heartbeat? Does your skin register the temperature of the room or the space where you're at? If you're outside, can you feel the breeze caressing your skin? What sounds are there around you? Notice, is there any tension in your body? Notice any ease in your body? So, without changing anything, without trying to fix anything, just simply sit and observe. And ask yourself, what is my body communicating to me right now? And then you sit for about 30 seconds. You just sit quietly. We don't really have the chance on a radio show, on a podcast, to be able to do this at the pace that I would do it. But explore this and really notice it. You'll notice that sometimes your body, you might get a twinge in a knee or in a shoulder, or your stomach starts gurgling. It is communicating with you. Really consider, what is it trying to say? What does this mean for me? Ask those questions to yourself. When do I feel most alive? What helps me feel connected to myself? Do you even spend time in your body? Are you constantly in your mind overthinking and trapped in your thoughts? Getting out of your head, drop into your body. This is a really important practice. Children naturally do this when they're in play state. But as we get older, we really start to get into that abstract thinking, and it's very easy to come home at the end of a day and still be living in your mind. And so a very simple practice like this can help you get out of your mind, back into your body. And notice what signals your body are regularly sending you that you could possibly be overlooking. So it's a very, very simple micro practice, but I would try and do this at least once a week. It's almost like a weekly integration. If you're pausing, taking a breath, noticing what am I noticing in my body right now? Just awareness. You don't have to do anything about it. And stretching, releasing fascia, all of these things are wonderful things that we are going to explore over the next few weeks. So, as we continue this journey together, we're going to explore the nervous system, fascia, emotion, learning, and the fascinating ways that our bodies actually shape the experience of our reality. And isn't that what it's all about? This is really, really important. I mean, intelligence lists, it exists through the whole being, not just the brain. So I would like to leave you with that thought there today and invite you to come back next week to join me on this journey. Please reach out at bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. There's a way for you to email me and contact me if you have any questions or you'd like to share your experiences. I would love to hear from you. It would be wonderful. Thanks for joining me on All Learning Reimagined, everybody. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you. Carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.